This is the final episode of Insight Music for 2018. At least it better be. I don't think we have it in us to do one more by Monday. My name is Nick Bruner, and we are rounding out a banner year of in-studio performances, starting with our first guests. If you have a pair of headphones handy, you might want to put them on for the music of Tel Cairo. It's intricate, ethereal, and that's not by accident. Cameron Others and Seven join us in conversation and performance. Then it's a sonic left turn with the music of Vinny Gadara and the Deadbirds. They released their sophomore album this year with the help of crowdfunding, and Randall White talks with the trio about their electro-acoustic sounds. And we wrap up with Dog Party and their sixth studio release. The sister duo of Gwen and Lucy Giles put out Hit and Run, which deals with, among other topics, relationships ending for both of them. It sounds like a bummer, but I assure you it's a lot of fun to hear them speak with Beth Ruyak. And that's all coming up on Insight Music. From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight Music, our monthly exploration of artists and sounds from in and around the Sacramento scene. I'm Nick Bruner, and this is Tel Cairo. Cameron Others and Seven have been making music together for over 20 years, and 2018 is arguably their most productive. They released four albums as Tel Cairo, they re-released their 2013 debut album, and on top of all that, Cameron released his own record as his solo project called Mission Control. I'm winded just reading this list. Seven and Cameron came in to speak with us about their decades-long career together, a few cutting observations about the Sacramento music scene, but we're going to start with the amazing amount of work they produced just this year.
It was like a good year, year and a half. We just wrote nonstop, and it was like, what, 72 songs we came up with?
I think so.
And we like narrowed it down to 40 that fit. I mean, and mostly everyone was giving us advice to like, oh, just release one album at a time or something like that. And I'm like, well, they all sound like they're from the same writing period because they were. Let's just do that so we can move on to something else down the line. And like, you know, we like to challenge ourselves. They were a sentence, basically. And so like, you know, the first album's called Black Is. Second one is A Tuesday Morning.
Yeah.
Then it's Wednesday Is a White Lie. So it's completed. It's, you know, Black Is a Tuesday Morning, Wednesday Is a White Lie. Pretty lucky about the features that were on there, too.
Yeah.
From like Shoti Ma to
Shoti.
Like Black Achilles.
Mm-hmm.
Chewy's on there. And then, oh, that new kid, what's his name? Hobo Johnson?
Yeah. I understand he's doing big things.
Yeah, he's on his way up.
This guy, I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah.
And Tara Lopez is on there too.
Yeah.
Was there anybody that you were hoping to get for this project that you couldn't?
A lot. And we have still those recordings and it just wasn't scheduled right. Like a lot of, and maybe they'll show up, maybe they won't. And it's just, it's scheduling. You know, when you deal with that many people, I don't even know how the Gorillaz do it. That's insane. Like just so many different people.
We'll be right back. I take it that with everything going on, you weren't really worried about overextending yourselves.
No.
Did that ever go through your heads to be like, oh, God, have we bit off more than we can chew?
No, on the, like, a subconscious level. Or, like, you know what I mean? Not like a thing you're, like, thinking out, saying out loud, like, oh, this is too much. But, you know, you got tons and tons of music after you've, like, set it out or like, maybe midway you're thinking about how much more there is. Like, oh, that's a lot. But I don't feel like it was ever, like, this is too much to do. It's just if you're constantly creating and inspired, is weird. I just felt like, well, let's just keep doing it.
You have to practice your art every day or exercise it if it's not practicing anymore and try new things and experiments. But you can't just sit in there and never release it.
Put it out there. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Usually people just kind of release it like in slightly more digestible chunks. So this is such a large volume coming out at once. It just seems Herculean.
It's also like your net's bigger. Certain songs may catch somewhere else just because of the way they sound, or like they might, people are putting them on playlists and the algorithm might put them in a certain genre that not things on the other albums they might not associate them with. So it's like, okay, well, maybe this album, people are going to catch on this album over here, and maybe they'll look it up and then find out there's more. Or maybe they'll catch on to this one of the other albums like 2 years later. Who knows, you know? There's so much sound. It's like, why not just try to just get it to everybody? Solo paso por mi fase, no te pases. Soy un terremoto de energía. Llego con la mía. Soy la tía, la maldita, pero nunca fría. Me ven chiquitita, bien tranquila, bien mansita. Pero soy la fiera de la noche de la batería. Metiéndole bien duro, lo mío es seguro, te lo juro. No me muevo con el viento, tengo mi cimiento. No en cemento, chilling con ancestros, crezco lento. Pero caliento con mi aliento. Sabes lo que pienso, lo que siento, mi rito es siniestro. Lejos de bien peso, pero si me reta, no me gustan las mentiras ni las niñas que se fijan demasiado en las cifras, en las cintas, perdiendo la cabeza por las calorías. Ya lo sabe. Bruja Life. Métele candela si eres perra. Métele candela si eres fiera. Llevas candela. Métele candela si eres perra. Mete para abajo si eres fiera. Si eres sincera.
Ni pa' la hierba les alcanza, pa' típico. fiera, si eres perra. Métele candela, si eres perra. Si eres fiera, métele candela, si eres perra. Métele candela, si eres perra. Si eres sincera, métele candela, si eres perra. Métele candela, si eres perra. Si eres sincera, métele candela, si eres perra. Métele candela, si eres perra. Si eres sincera.
Okay, that was not that bad.
Where does the dividing line come from? If you've written 70 songs and narrowed that down, you said to 40? Is that right?
Yeah.
What puts a track on a Tuesday morning as opposed to a White Lie?
We build an algorithm, like literally built an algorithm to put all our songs and load it in. You know, we're nerds. We're nerds with laptops. And we asked it to tell us, and it did a really good job. We just told it what song we wanted to start with, which was actually just a noise track.
Yeah.
That when we were outside of Ira Skinner's old studio where we shared with like Death Grips, there was this homeless guy just like screaming and yelling at people. I could hear so many things in it that because of that is why we dove into like soundscaping. And like the whole, all four albums are recorded binaurally. So it's like surround sound, four headphones, and cars. And you go to Best Buy and try to buy a stereo system, it doesn't exist. So we purposely focused on that because of that guy's dialogue that was going on, and we were able to shape him around. We moved our like snares to like where it would feel like if you were playing a drum set. And so you can actually hear the snare like right here, the kicks on the floor, hi-hats are spread around. It's pretty cool.
You're probably going to hear something different every time you listen to it. When I've listened to just the songs on my own after everything was done, try to like have to remove yourself from the whole recording process and just like revisit everything, I feel like I've gotten a different experience in different places, but the most sound, like, encompassing thing I've had is in headphones. You can hear things that are, like, panned off and set and to the left in the environment. It feels like you're in a room where the sound's being made, so, like, it's like you're listening in 3D. I didn't realize until I was much later in life that people didn't all respond to music the same way or like feel music the same way that I do and some other people do.
Tara.
And Tara Lopez, she has synesthesia?
She
hears colors.
Hears colors.
So like purple is bass and then like, there's different colors of different things. Mine is more emotional, but it's not necessarily visual where I see it, but I just feel things like out and I like drift off. If you just talk to me in the normal, you might think I'm not paying attention. I am. I'm just like, I might be over to the left in the corner, but I'm still like here.
What does your solo project allow you to do that you don't do with Tel Cairo?
Well, for one, every song has vocals on it. And with Tel Cairo, it's more, I mean, I do some feature stuff on there and I'll do stuff with the other artists vocally. But mostly I'm playing keys and doing stuff back and forth with Seven. So on Mission Control, it was just my ideas. Like I didn't, it's different writing by yourself than it is writing with someone else. So I got to really dive into a lot of personal issues I was going through in the last 2 years. It's basically a diary. It's the most open I think I've been with anybody. So it was a little strange to put it out to the world.
Yeah, how does it feel to take such personal material and then just kind of let it out there for the world to experience?
It feels good now. I've gotten a lot of good feedback and seems to resonate with people. But, you know, when you're doing it, you're not sure. And just being on different musical hypes and being into all kinds of different things, the way I put it together, I wasn't exactly sure who it was going to resonate with or if people were going to get it. It's like sometimes when you mix different kinds of genres and stuff together, it's not the mix that people want, per se, but it's just what felt right. So it really came down to me just sorting through things, and I was like, I have to put this out. Like, it just has to be done. So when people were responding, it just made me relax a little bit about it, because it's just a little nerve-wracking to put that out there.
The God I've built around me has found defeat. Amazing. I dream about you, girl, when I am not asleep. Oh, baby, how did you break down the walls and drown the floor?
you tap into my mind. I swear I tried to draw the line. I crossed the line to get to you. Your eyes, they show me truth. It's scary cause the things that we might never do. Cause I ain't got no time to be in love with you. In love with you. Cause falling in love, it means you're falling. Eventually you hit the ground. Reach up to where my body lays, babe. And then you draw the line around. Cross the line to get to you.
You have such a varied amount of Sacramento-based talent on all of these records, including Task One, who was persona non grata, right? After a few years ago, it came out that Task was essentially stealing lyrics from other rappers. His music career, as far as what I had seen, had been practically non-existent until these records came out. So I was kind of surprised to see him appear in that capacity. Was that a consideration, his past, when making these records and collaborating with him? And what's your relationship like with Task these days?
Corey is a friend, and he's super talented. And, you know, he went through it. He doubted himself a little bit and did what he did. But he's a friend. He didn't club a baby seal. Like, on the grand scheme of things, since then, fascism has come back and, like, Trump's a Nazi and, like, you know, all this other stuff going on. I mean, like, it really means nothing to us. And we write our music for ourselves first. You know, that song we did with him was done a long time ago. Because, again, we spent over these four albums, it was like about 4 years. So, and it was good. And we loved it. And he's our friend. And that's, you know, everyone on these albums are our friends. Yeah. Some are more, some are less, you know, enough that we fight with each other too. Those are kind of friends, you know. And nobody's our boss but us. That's the bottom line. Yeah. And like,
even when that came up, it's like, well, this song's original. The song is really good. It doesn't matter what you do, someone's gonna have something bad to say about it. Like, people are gonna be upset or hate about it, but like, whatever. Like, I like this song. Like, this is a good song. So you just deal with it.
And I won't even be PC about it. Sacramento hates anybody who starts succeeding, and that becomes a pressure type of situation. You know, we're both from Oakland originally. You know, so I came out here and I saw, you know, anytime someone starts to come up in Sac, everyone just starts hating on them. And that's a lot of freaking pressure.
You're seeing that now with Hobo Johnson in a big way from a lot of different corners.
Absolutely. And we stand firmly behind him. You know, a lot of people were trying to put their own spin on who he is and what he is. Those same people try to misjudge us as well at one point when we volunteered to help. One particular person claimed I was white passing, not Mexican and white. And they also did that to Hobo. So they get to judge our race and our, you know, and Cam Skate, so he might not be black enough, you know. But it was just, so, and that's a Sacramento thing. That's like, you know, Sacramento just, it's just some haters. And that's why some of your greatest artists leave.
What do you attribute to, if anything, if it can be codified, what's going on that continues to have that kind of vibe?
Sac's a small town who's growing really big. You know, we saw that in Oakland. It started getting gentrified because there was like, you know, for whatever reasons they started doing it. Here, it's happening the same. So now everyone's getting pushed out. I said this when I got here, is that Sac is a great place to write and create, but they don't support their artists. You know, they'll always ask to be on the guest list. They won't pay a $5 cover, and that isn't anywhere in the United States like that. But if your music or your art makes it here, it will make it anywhere. There are a lot of experimental acts that came from here. Lee Bannon, Death Grips, Rituals of Mine, Deftones, Hobo, that, like, normally, if you were like in LA, that nobody would have given him a chance, but they made it here and it worked.
Tell Cairo, that's Seven, and Cameron Others. Links to their records and videos from their in-studio performance are up right now. All you have to do is just clickety-clack over to capradio.org/insightmusic. And we're back in a minute, right here on Cap Radio. You're back with Insight Music on Cap Radio. I'm Nick Bruner, in with you today. Thanks so much for finding the show. Coming up next, our in-studio performance and conversation with Vinny Gadara and the Dead Birds. Vinny sat down with host Randall White to talk about their second album, which came about with the help of crowdfunding, and it's called Shedding. Let's start with how the band first got together.
This was born of a solo project. We've been playing together since high school, but there was an offshoot of that where I played acoustic stuff by myself. And then a few years back, we started doing those songs with the full band. And that's how the first record came to be. And then this one, we approached writing more as a group.
Okay, tell us about the new album, Shedding. How is it different from your first record, Lows?
We approached it differently as far as the writing process goes, kind of anticipating that it would be more full. And there's sort of more dynamic opportunities when we're writing as a full band on both the louder end of things and the quieter end of things, and that there's a lot of space between we can work in. So I think we experimented more with textures, and there's a little bit more lead guitar stuff on this one.
What does shedding mean?
To me, it's shaking some naivety from your process, whether that's the learning process or the coping process.
Shed your ignorance a bit.
Exactly.
And become a better person along the way.
Ideally.
I'm going to give you a chance to climb into that because we're going to have you play here in a matter of seconds, really. And Vinny, I'll ask you while you're getting into position here, what song are you going to play and what inspired you on this one?
We're going to be playing Vacation White. It's about convincing yourself that everything's okay.
Huh. Which some of us need to do around this time, right?
A real happy song.
Yeah. All right. Here we have Vinny Gadara and the Dead Birds playing Vacation White.
Thank you.
Excellent. Vacation White, Vinnie Gadara, and the Deadbirds live here in the Insight studio. I know that you're using, at least in some cases, an acoustic guitar, but it's played through an electric setup. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's a byproduct of this having started as a solo project. So I ended up plugging my acoustic into my old electric setup and toying around with that until I found a sound that I liked. It resonates a lot differently than an electric guitar would. So I think it sounds and feels fuller than playing an electric. Mm-hmm.
Kevin, you play bass. When people ask you, friends, family members, whoever you run into, how do you describe the band's sound?
We describe ourselves as indie rock, and it's hard to elaborate too much outside of that because we're kind of unique. I mentioned bands like Manchester Orchestra. Most of the bands that we mention that we sound like, a lot of people haven't heard of.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of try to get people to come to our shows to figure out
right.
what we sound like.
Hear it for yourself, and then right. you can describe it.
Yeah.
Ian, you're on drums, and if I understand it, this last album was sort of a do-it-yourself project where you built your own drum kit.
Yeah, both albums were. So between Lowe's and Shedding, I built myself a new drum kit. Because I don't have enough stress in my life, so I decided to do this like really insane project. But I think it turned out okay.
And this is the one behind you right now.
Yes.
Here,
yeah.
All right. So I understand you guys successfully funded a Kickstarter campaign. That doesn't always happen for people. And in this case, it was so that you could get this album pressed onto vinyl. Congratulations, mm-hmm. first of all, to you guys on that. Why was it important to you to have a vinyl version?
I'm a big fan of physical media, and I like the physical presentation of a record. We did it on colored vinyl, and that's part of the overall vision for what I had in mind for this record in general. Yeah, between the cover art and the colored vinyl, I've always felt like that's necessary. There's a lot more available than there used to be. There's still not too many pressing plants, I don't think, mm-hmm. in the States.
You mentioned the artwork. Talk a little bit about that.
We did the artwork in my backyard. It's actually, if you look at the cover art for our first record, Lowe's, it's a picture of a tree in my backyard with a fruit fallen on the ground. The cover art for Shedding is the same spot in the backyard, but where the fruit was in the photo on the first record. It's actually a TV playing static on this one.
What inspired you to do that?
Well, I figure I'm writing about a lot of the same things, but maybe from a different perspective mm-hmm. that's a little less naive, but not necessarily more clear. So I just felt it was fitting for the cover art to reflect that.
And Ian and Kevin, we talked a little bit about you building your own drum set, but mm-hmm. you guys really do it all yourselves. You record it, mix it. The artwork's done in the backyard. It's like a home project.
Yeah, it's a learning process every time. I think this one was a little easier, being our second. It's cool. Like, we learn something new every time. And
what'd you learn this time around?
How I really wish we could record with a scratch track.
What's a scratch track for people that don't know?
So as a drummer, when you track a song, for the most part, it's the whole song in one take. So a scratch track is, for me, would be used as like a reference point. But with a lot of these songs, we'd been playing for a while and we rehearsed a lot before recording. So it ended up not really being an issue that we had the songs pretty much down when it came time to actually track the record.
Kevin, do you have a wish list or something that you learned along the way?
We were a lot more comfortable this time. We knew how we wanted to set up. We knew what kind of effects we wanted to use, just how we wanted the record to sound from start to finish. So I think it was a bit easier just because we were comfortable with it. And doing it by yourself gives you more time to make sure everything is right.
Are you already on the vision for the third album?
No.
I think at this point, last time, we already had a few songs written for the second album.
Uh-huh.
And this time we're not quite there yet.
We do have time to hear another song here, By Rote. Explain the title on that one.
This one's kind of about learning the same lessons over and over and over again.
Vinny Gadara and the Dead Birds. That's Vinny on guitar, Kevin Hayes on bass, and Ian McDonald on that DIY drum set. Links, videos, and more from the Sacramento scene on the internet. Capradio.org/insightmusic. Vinny Gadara's sophomore album, Shedding, is out now. This is a cut from that album called Part of the Act. Back in a minute with more Insight Music here on Cap Radio.
Dark street, get a deep black bit of an aching chest. Wrong time for a favor or an excuse. Anomaly.
Back to Insight Music. We missed you. I'm Nick Bruner. Last segment of the show today is with Dog Party. This is the punk rock duo of Gwen and Lucy Giles. This year they released their 6th studio album, and that is quite a feat considering they're both just in their early 20s. The long-standing sister duo sat down to talk with Beth Rujak about their new album, Hit and Run.
Well, Lucy had the first breakup chronologically. And I was away at school while she was still in Sacramento, so I couldn't really be there for her. But she found her way through with music, which is amazing. And so she was sharing all of the songs that she was writing through that. And then soon after, I experienced a breakup, so that helped me get my share of the songs to complete a whole album.
What's the new album? Any preview of the direction, the tone that you're going?
Well, the tone that I have written so far is kind of continuing on with this tone, kind of just like trouble, complication. For mine, it's more like adrenaline rush, enthusiasm, and just really feeling good in the heart.
But a lot of people, they try to, like, pinpoint us and try to put kind of labels on us and try to say that we sound like certain bands, but in reality, we kind of have our own sound going on.
Tell me a little more of the backstory about Operator. That's a song I know we've heard before.
Yes, Operator, we played that last time we were on Insight. Basically, Operator is the only kind of happy song that I wrote on this record. It was actually me finally trying to get over the breakup, and I'm like moving on. Like, this is a new guy that I have my eyes set on, but he was difficult.
It's funny for me, like, just by listening to the words, I can tell which person it's about. And there's just been different songs that you've showed me. And it's like, oh, yes, I remember when this happened.
Don't you think those guys can tell, too?
I don't know. Maybe.
You don't care.
I don't. It's not for them. It's for me.
Party and some toughness in the new album titled Hit and Run. So it might seem obvious if you have broken hearts that hit and run is a good phrase, but is there another story for naming the album?
There is. So I wrote this song called I'd Like to Know. And in, I think it's like the fourth line, I say, it was a hit and run in your car. And I just thought, like, I loved that line. It was my favorite line of the whole song. And then, like, 2 months later, Gwen comes rolling in with her guitar. She's like, I wrote this new song. I was like, ooh, let me hear it. And she just starts singing about hit and run. And I was like, devastated. I was like, Lenny, why? My song says hit and run. And then we realize, well, wait a second. We can just call the record Hit and Run because it's brought up 2 times in the record.
So you each kept the phrase, yeah, the song, the writing in it. Yes,
but it was a funny, like, sisterly connection. telepathic, like, woo, because we both wrote songs that said Hit and Run in it.
You know, I really want to know whose breakup song that is, Hit and Run.
That's me.
Oops, he's giving Gwenny. It away. It's Gwenny. Who wrote that line, love isn't one for threes?
Me. I thought it was cool because it goes 1, 4, 3, so they're all numbers, but only one of them is, or two of them are numbers.
Yeah,
I play on words.
I heard it as numbers first. I heard the 1, 4, 3s, and then I thought, wait a minute, that's such a catchy, good punk line.
I have no idea. I just learned something new today.
There we go. All right, are you already working on the next album?
Yeah, we're always writing.
I thought so.
Yeah. Always scheming.
For good. That empire.
For the empire, right. If anybody thought this was going to be a crying, my broken heart album, it's not, is it?
No siree. Yeah, this record, it's pretty just like up in your face, kind of like, don't mess with us. Mm-hmm. We're feisty.
A little bit of that same attitude in starting your own record label too. Tell me about the journey. Was there a point when you both knew, we need to step out here on our own?
The music industry right now it's at an interesting place. And we've noticed that a lot of big bands are jumping off these major labels and starting their own labels once their contracts end. And so we kind of looked at that and we're like, well, maybe we should just try on our own and see what it's like. And
being on labels previously have been really great and super supportive. And with everything that we've been learning in school, and I also did college radio, which is a little bit more like with the music industry as well, we figured that we could take a crack at it.
You were doing a good portion of this on your own anyway, and you've been booking your own shows and managing your career since you were middle schoolers?
Elementary
school at Old Ironsides long ago. We have time for another song. You ready for another one?
Yeah, this one's called Hit and Run.
Performing from their latest album, Hit and Run, that's Dog Party. And that's Insight Music for 2018. Thank you very much for catching it all through this year. What? You mean you weren't a devotee, sitting by your radio, waiting for this special every month? No worries. Each and every episode of this program can be found online at capradio.org/insightmusic. My name's Nick Bruner, and it has been a pleasure to contribute to this show, which is so ably produced by Jen Picard, Bert Johnson, and Cody Drabble. Our digital team is Chris Hagen, Casey Gardner, and Emily Zentner. And we get lots and lots of help from Devin Cortan, Andrew Nixon, Paul Conley, Beth Ruyak, Randall White, and Anthony Van Hook. Special assistance this month from Zoro Pruneda. Our technical director behind the boards is Mr. Mark Jones, and Insight's executive producer is Joe Barr. We'll see you again in 2019 with more music discovery and artists from the Sacramento scene when Insight Music returns. Happy New Year.
Just like somebody I used to know.